You come today, maybe with all kinds of things you'd like to have filled, whether it's a spouse to marry or money to make or a career to have or popularity or fame or whatever the thing we're wanting to be filled. But all the while, Jesus has what you want from the very beginning. That's the point of the Bible.
For those desiring contentment or in search of fulfillment, Pastor Brett Metter says, look for Jesus pointing the way.
Come and see. He wants us to find that fulfillment and that satisfaction that only comes in Christ.
After fishing all night and catching nothing, the disciples unexpectedly encountered Jesus in John chapter 21, who bids them to come ashore and eat with him. But this isn't the first time Jesus extended a similar invitation. And coming up on today's Word, Pastor Brett Metter considers what Jesus offers us and all we have to gain when we respond to his call to come.
Jesus in the Gospel of John gives us three invitations that are, I think, of huge importance. As I look at it, as I see the story, and I think it'd be worth us taking, before we leave the Gospel of John, I wanted you to see the three main invitations of the Gospel of John. There's other invitations that Jesus gives in other Gospels, but if you just look at the Gospel of John, well, let me show you the three. Number one, Jesus said, come and see. Come and see. It's John chapter 1, verse 39, where he says to them, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day. Context of this little verse here? Well, it was before Jesus had chosen all the disciples. But Andrew, who was actually a disciple of John the Baptist, yep, John the Baptist had his own disciples. But John the Baptist, his whole thing was pointing to the coming Jesus, the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. And John prepared the way for Jesus. So his disciples, including Andrew, were curious. So they went and found Jesus, the one John the Baptist was preparing the way for. And their introduction seemed pretty casual, but where are you staying? What are you doing? They said to Jesus. And Jesus said to them, come and see. Notice the nuance. He didn't say, see and come. Who was the disciple that had to see and then come? Remember Thomas there in John chapter 20? The disciple says, hey, we saw Jesus. And Thomas is like, I don't believe you. I won't believe you unless I can put my finger in the hole in his hands and thrust my fist in the hole in his side. And if I see that, then I'll believe, but I will not believe without seeing. Jesus says, okay, Thomas, here, put your finger in the hole of my hands, put your fist in the hole of my side. And Jesus said, Thomas, and this is like almost like the last of the Beatitudes, if you would. Jesus said, blessed are they which believe without seeing. You see, that's the thing. Andrew and this other disciple, when Jesus said, come and see, they had a decision to make. Were they going to come and see and then follow Jesus as disciples? There's faith involved in the process. You know, it's funny how I think we Christians sometimes apologize. Well, yeah, I guess it gets down to faith. But can I just say everything gets down to faith? And it's amazing to me that the atheist acts like they don't have any faith. We are faithless. We don't have faith. Atheists have way more faith than I would ever have as a Christian. What do you mean, Brett? I'm an atheist and I don't have faith. No, you really do. Do you believe that you have a brain? Have you ever seen your brain? See, because the atheist thing is, I have to see it to believe it. And you can't prove God's existence because you can't see him. Ironically, some of the most hardcore faith that I see comes from atheists in areas of things like creation itself. I mean, suppose I took you to Mount Rushmore. There we are looking up on the mountain and I just say, wow, isn't it amazing how, like, wow, look at that. That's George Washington. Like, that's amazing. What a coincidence that the water just trickled down. And after billions and billions of years, the water carved George. And then who's that? Thomas Jefferson. Wow. And Roosevelt and Abraham Lincoln. Wow. What an amazing, fortuitous set of circumstances. I still marvel that people believe that you go from an explosion. If you go down to the molecular level, like your polynucleotide strands of your own DNA, their structure and sequence, and you're saying all that just happened at the explosion of the Big Bang? Do you understand? The odds of rain carving Mount Rushmore are way more likely than just an explosion to get to the microorganisms in your body or the polynucleotide strands of your DNA. Like, it's amazing how people just don't really realize or think about that for a second. You see, the point is, Jesus invites you to come and see him, which does require faith, but we as Christians shouldn't be apologetic about that. Everything in this world takes faith to believe certain things. And it's amazing what the secular world is willing to believe over just something simple that I'm gonna take a step of faith and believe and follow Jesus. Jesus said, come and see. What an important and a huge invitation that we've been given. But that's the first one. The second one, invitation in the Gospel of John, is not only come and see, but the second one is come and drink. Come and drink. In John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38, it says, in the last day of that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So the first thing Jesus invites us is come and see. But once we come and see who Jesus is and what he does, we realize he wants to be this refreshing source of joy and refreshment in your life. I believe today what we're seeing in the world is a deep thirst for the Lord. Whether people know it or not, they don't even know what they're thirsty for, but people are thirsty. People are thirsty for Jesus, whether they know it or not. But the world gives you all kinds of alternatives to Jesus. Oh, don't drink of Jesus, the living water, but drink of what we have to offer. And the world will give you all kinds of things to drink, but it's nothing like the pristine living water of Jesus Christ. And I believe, as Christians, something for you to be aware of, when you come and say, Jesus is the water of life, when you come and say, Jesus is the one that will satisfy your thirsty soul, I think that resonates in a lot of people today. You might forget how the world is really thirsty right now. They're thirsting for something. I'm not sure they know what it is, but it's actually they're thirsting for Christ. The world offers the mud puddle, but Jesus is the living water. And that's what Jesus told the woman at the well. If you drink of the water, I'll give you living water and you'll never thirst. He says it's a well of water springing up to everlasting life. That's what he told the woman. We try to search for satisfaction, but Jesus says, come to me and drink. And I guarantee that the thirst will be no more. When we're in a relationship with God, your soul will be satisfied. And one of the Psalms here is where, you know, the psalmist really figured this out. I want to show you Psalm 73, verse 25 through 26. And I love the ESV version on this one. The psalmist said, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. This is the mature believer, the psalmist who says, I don't need anything else. All I need is the Lord. He says, there's nothing on earth that I desire beside you. When you get to that place, when you know Jesus is all you need, your soul will be satisfied. He says, my heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion. You might say my only portion forever, because that's all you need. You know who understands this the best are poor people. People have nothing. It's often the person who has nothing that realizes that God is really all you need. It's harder, the more material wealth you have, the more comfort we have, the more, you know, options we have to try to satisfy our thirsty souls. We go to all those things, but when you know you don't have those things, then all you have is Christ. It was Corrie Ten Boom sitting in a concentration camp in Germany. She said this, you'll never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. And that's an important thing for us, especially those of us that live comfortably, sumptuously with food and drink and comfort and vacations and all the stuff that we have. This is a problem because we've tried to fill that hole in our heart that's thirsty for Christ, but we try to fill it with worldly mud puddles. Watch out for that. You'll be unsatisfied. How long will it take us to get to Psalm 73, 25 and 26, where we know the Lord is my portion that I need? So you've got number one, come and see, John 1:39. Come and drink, Jesus invited, John 7:37. And now we get to our text here in John chapter 21, where Jesus will say, come and dine. So you got come and see, come and drink, and then come and dine. And it's a story here that I'd like to read from chapter 21, starting in verse 3. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. And they said unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. Now, there's a whole lesson here that's worth noting. Were the disciples supposed to go fishing right now? If you know the story, the answer is no. They were supposed to go and wait for Christ, who was gonna give them their marching orders, and eventually they'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're like, there was a job for them to do. But it was not to go back to their old job. They were professional fishermen, at least Peter, James, and John. And notice when you go back to the old things that you're not supposed to be doing, it's amazing how you drag other people with you. Did you see that? Peter's like, I'm going fishing, and all the other disciples, we're going too. Like that's what happens, especially if you're a mom or a dad or an employer or you have people following you. It's amazing. When you're not doing well, it's amazing to watch how the people that are following you are not gonna be doing well as well. So Peter says, I'm going fishing. And they go, and the professional fisherman caught nothing. If you go back to the old things of your life to bring you satisfaction or bring you contentment, you're not only gonna find them empty, but they're gonna be emptier than they were when you first went there and did those things. That's what you're gonna find. These guys were professional fishermen and they're coming up empty. Watch out, you know, there's a temptation to go back to your old things, especially if you're an old crusty Christian. What's an old crusty Christian? The Christian that has known the Lord, been saved for a long time, but tends to forget just the simplicity of the beauty of the gospel and that Jesus really is all you need. You know, you can almost become so comfortable with knowing you're saved and going to heaven and the grace of God, which is wonderful, but you almost go, you know, yeah, I'm thankful I'm saved. Yeah. But I remember back in the good old days when I used to do this and that and the other, and you think going back to the old fishing holes or the old watering holes, that's where you're gonna find greatness and contentment. And it wasn't so bad. I remember the parties in college. Oh, they were so great, man. We had so much fun. You forget, they weren't fun. You were nervous and you went to these college parties and you drank with funnels and tubes and they held you upside down and then you got all drunk and you don't remember what happened. Like you forget barfing in the toilet the next day. Remember those things? You have a tendency to forget that part. It's just like there in Numbers chapter 11. Do you remember in Numbers chapter 11 where the people of Israel were enslaved? And they were enslaved for so long, the mixed multitude was among them. And they, it says they fell a-lusting, just like Peter said, I'm going a-fishing. Well, they fell in Numbers 11, a-lusting after the good old days. They were in the wilderness getting free food from God and water from a rock. They were being saved in the middle of the wilderness. What were they being saved from? They were slaves. They were enslaved in Egypt for hundreds of years. But then they started saying, we remember the fish we did freely eat in Egypt, the onions, the leeks, and the melons. We remember how delicious the food we ate freely in Egypt. And now we have this loathsome bread, this manna before our eyes. And they started complaining to Moses. They were remembering the good old days in Egypt, which is a type of the world. Are you a person that remembers the worldly days? Oh, those were good times. That was really a good time, fun. But you really forget. No, you were enslaved at that time to the world and to worldliness. Don't remember the good old days, the glory days. It's what happens when you become an old crusty Christian. You gotta knock the crust off and say, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. That's what we need to remember. But this idea, Jesus is saying, I want you to go and wait for me and I'm gonna give you your marching orders. The disciples say, no, we're going fishing, our old job. We're going back to our old job. And they came up empty. Well, verse 4, but when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? Now here's where one of the greatest miracles of the Bible, fishermen who were honest. It says, you know, Jesus said, have you caught any fish? And they answered him, no. They didn't talk about the one that got away or, anyway, it says here in verse 6, and Jesus, he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw fire and coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. For there was so many, yet not the net was broken. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. There's the invitation. Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing it was the Lord. And Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. I love this story because the disciples, they say, man, we're going fishing. They were looking for their old fulfillment in life, their old career. You know, they were no longer supposed to be that. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. They were supposed to be Bible teachers and evangelists. They were supposed to be ministers. And because of the confusion and not knowing what to do and the death and resurrection of Jesus, they already know he rose from the grave, but they're still saying, we're going back to our old fishing. But they came up empty. But what we always see in the stories of Jesus is the very thing that you long for is always found in Jesus. They were wanting to catch fish, but they came up empty. When did they start catching fish? When Jesus was in the picture. That's when they started catching fish. By the way, there's a sideline note that's kind of interesting. How many fish did they catch? 153. Have you ever wondered why the Bible gives us numbers like that? Who cares? Why don't you say they got a bunch of fish? What does 153 fish mean to us? Like, why does the Bible give us that specificity? Who cares? Well, I think everything in the Bible is inspired by God and is for a purpose. Maybe this is the reason. Did you know a few decades ago, they were studying the marine biology of the Sea of Galilee? And they did a bunch of work with fossils and the fish record of all the various species of fish. But it's interesting. They said the Sea of Galilee, they found over the centuries, it's not this way today, but over the centuries, they realized there were a specific number of species of fish in the Sea of Galilee, and it just happened to be the number 153. And all of us Bible people are like, wait a minute, that's interesting. They found 153 species of fish, and they give us this number in the Bible. What's the point? Well, remember, the story is, I'll make you fishers of men. I wonder if this is part of that beautiful picture where they were supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Like, this is part of that beautiful picture. So I think all those little numbers are in the Bible for a reason. The question is what? I will know for sure when we get to heaven. But Jesus fulfills them with a huge haul of fish, but even better, not only did Jesus let them catch the fish, but he's already got fish frying up on a fire of coals. And he's got bread. Like, there's this cozy little scene here where Jesus is just there by the fire. You know, they had been toiling all night. Peter's dripping wet because he jumped in and swam and came to shore. And Jesus is there. Would you like some fish? Oh, here's some bread too. I just love this. A couple things I take from this. First of all, Jesus was not vegan. You say, Brad, who cares about that? No, I care about that. When I first moved to Oregon, Portland area, when I first moved up here, one of the Athey Creekers brought me a copy of the West Lynn Tidings, that bastion of news. There was an article, and she said, you got to read this. And the title is, Pastors in Oregon Need to Repent. I'm like, well, that's probably true. But let's read the article. And it went like this. The pastors in Oregon need to repent because they're not teaching their congregations biblical truth. I'm like, wow, yay and amen to that. I was thinking, this is a good article so far. And then I kept reading. Pastors need to teach our fellow Christians not to murder our brothers. Repent of murder, this article declares. And I'm like, oh no, there's murder in West Lynn? Man, I guess I better start really working on these West Lynn people because they're murderers, it says here. But then I kept reading and it finally said, the murdering that's happening is because we eat meat, killing our brethren, the animals. And that's when I started hearing cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs in this article. It was like, wow, they lost me there. Jesus ate meat. And the Bible tells us the world's gonna try to forbid us in the last days from eating of meats. But it says, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving. And I believe that's gonna happen, especially at Thanksgiving. I'm gonna receive lots of meat for that too. But the reason that that's kind of funny is that for them to make an argument that Jesus argues for veganism, that's just not true. He was frying up some fish on some hot coals, and it seems like he was enjoying it, actually. So just FYI for you vegan people that are wacko. If you want to be vegan, good for you, but don't make a spiritual thing out of it. But anyway, Jesus says, come and dine. And he's already got the fish and the bread there for them. The very thing that they wanted, Jesus had all along. Same as the woman at the well. She wanted water with her water pots, but she ended up leaving her water pots. Why? Because Jesus fulfilled that thirsty soul of the woman at the well. Same thing for you. You come today, maybe with all kinds of things you'd like to have filled, whether it's a fishing boat full of fish, water pot full of water, or a spouse to marry, or money to make, or a career to have, or popularity or fame, or whatever the thing we're wanting to be filled. But all the while, Jesus has what you want from the very beginning. That's the point of the Bible. These invitations of Jesus, this is where that contentment actually happens. When you realize these invitations, come and see, come and drink, come and dine. These are the invitations of our Savior. And he wants us to find that fulfillment and that satisfaction that only comes in Christ. Jesus' invitations, if you're an old-time Christian, it's good to get back to those things. If you've maybe neglected in your walk with Jesus, maybe it's time for you to once again tap into Jesus. Just like the disciples, they went their own way, started fishing again, but they had to go back to the shore where Jesus was to see the fulfillment. For some of you old-time Christians, maybe it's getting your Bible out and dusting it off in the morning and saying, I'm gonna get back to meeting Jesus every morning. You know, oh, but Brett, I have important things to do. I gotta get up in the morning. Well, get up just a few minutes early. You know, I've noticed a lot of you guys, if you don't have your coffee, you're a wreck. Some of you coffee people, man, you're like total addicted. It's crazy level. Wouldn't it be great if we had the same desire for that cup of coffee, that same desire for the Word of God? Because you know what? It's more important. Oh no, Brad, you don't understand. I need my coffee in the morning. I went on a missionary trip with a buddy and he ran a coffee shop back here in the States. And we went out in the jungles of Vanuatu. There wasn't a coffee shop for 3,000 miles where we were. And we were just in the jungle and we were there for 3 weeks. Well, the first week he was worthless. He was quivering, laying on the jungle floor, like saying, I can't move, I need coffee. And I was like, wow, that's a real addict. So we went through rehab and stuff there in the jungle. It's funny, if we only knew how much we need to come and see, come and drink, come and dine. Even if you're an old school Christian, it's good for you to take up that invitation of Jesus. Don't forget these invitations. Don't go back to your old ways of just living your life for the other things. That's just the empty pea soup mud puddle. Don't go to that. Go to Christ. If you're not a Christian, if you've never accepted Christ, can I just say Jesus is inviting you to come and see how good he is. In fact, the psalmist wrote this on the come and dine part, Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed or happy is the man that trusteth in him. The word blessed is a King James word, but it just means happy. You'll be happy when you realize that Jesus is all that you need and he satisfies your thirsty soul. He fills your hungry heart and Jesus is the one who meets your every need. And we know that to be true as Christians. And sometimes I think we forget because we become so accustomed to being fed and filled and knowing that we're saved that we forget what a glorious thing it is. If you're not a Christian, why wouldn't you soften your heart, taste and see, come and see? It is a step of faith. But I'm going to say it's a tiny step compared to the other leaps that you've probably made in things that you believe. Come and see Jesus Christ. May the Lord give you ears to hear in Jesus' name.
Blessed is the man who trusts in him indeed. Pastor Brett Metter has been offering great insights into the three invitations of Jesus found in the Gospel of John in today's Word. And Pastor Brett will be back in a moment to offer a closing prayer. But first, our teacher, Brett Metter, is the senior pastor of Athey Creek Church just outside of Portland, Oregon. Our vision is to proclaim the hope of salvation and help people know Jesus, their Savior, through careful study of the Bible. We invite you to find out more by going to todayswordradio.com. If you've missed any portion of our study, you'll find all of Pastor Brett's messages online at todayswordradio.com. I also want to mention that in addition to the main Athey Creek campus in Westland, Oregon, we also have locations in Hillsboro and McMinnville. For more information, go to todayswordradio.com and click on the link Locations. Again, todayswordradio.com and click the link Locations. Well, now here again is Pastor Brett Metter to close our time in prayer.
Lord, we do pray that we would all just take these invitations that we see in the Gospel of John and in so many other places, like there in Matthew 11, where Jesus said, come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden. You said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Lord, these invitations of Christ, I pray that we would take them seriously. Lord, I pray for the unsaved. I pray that they'd be drawn to you and truly taste and see that you are good, that they would be blessed as they follow you. So revive us, Lord. I pray for the old-timer Christians here. Would you restore unto us the joy of our salvation? As we go from this place, Lord, may our light so shine in this dark world. We know there's so many people hurting and hungry, thirsty, and I pray that we'd be there to point them to your son, Jesus. We pray these things, Lord, knowing you've heard our prayer now, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Pastor Brett Metter here on Today's Word. And that's all the time we have. Next time, Pastor Brett will show how Jesus' final object lessons help prepare the disciples as the foundation of the church begins to take shape. Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in West Lynn, Oregon.